Safely out. It's still I remember how, with power, on Sundays the message was preached. And I remember, oh, saints, how they praise, and how they shine.
Worship of the Lord. About this, and I've said this before many a time, you know, I think everybody in here would admit about being a sinner. Maybe not all, but most people would admit about being a sinner. And the Bible says that Christ Jesus come to save sinners.
Yes,
and the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am the chief. But it wasn't just he come to save lost sinners. And can I say this today? We've got to realize that without Christ, we are lost.
Amen.
We have no way of getting out of this life prepared for glory to heaven. I know in today's day, a lot of folks like the attitude or like the thought that, hey, I'm probably going to go to heaven when I die. Well, do you know for sure? Do you have that assurance in your heart to know for sure? And somebody says, well, preacher, what's any business of yours? Well, it's not my business to know if you're saved or not, but it is your business to know if you're saved. And the Lord says, I use the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. It is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. This singing up here, the reason why it was bringing tears to my eyes and causing other folks to say amen and some women to shout and to testify was, it's, there's a power in that when you believe it with your whole entire heart. Some people say, well, preacher, he wasn't moving me. Do you believe it with all your heart? Did you give God your heart and say, sink or swim, live or die, I'm going to go with this Jesus Christ. You don't have to know all the ins and the outs of the Bible. You don't have to memorize the words or the songs. You don't have to have perfect Sunday school attendance. But what you need to have is a trip spiritually to Calvary's Hill and get born again by the power of God. Can I say this today, that all them songs, I began to be reminded of all the things that I was seeing Cindy crying about how she has been through some things. But she knows and realizes that God will deliver. Yes. And I know in this day and age, a lot of people look at it and say, well, life is just what it is. There's no difference. There's no way it could get any better. But Brother Terry, I found it does get better. Yes. Jesus said the thief, the devil has come. He's a thief. And he's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Yes. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He can change your life now. Yes, you get to go to heaven, but there's benefits in this life, if you allow him in your life. Jesus is so wonderful. He's so great. He's perfect. He said, preacher, does he know my circumstance and does he know my situation? Absolutely he does. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like we are, but yet he was without sin. Preacher, why did he go without sin? That way we could come to him through and by and get saved, and through and by his name we have access to the Father, and we can have a petition, we can have a help, we can take grace and mercy in the time of need. Can I say this today? We're all in need of something. I've seen some and know some, and maybe you know some, maybe you've come across some, and you need to know this without beyond any shadow of doubt in your life. You need to know in your heart 100% that you and the Lord, that you're saved. Your name's wrote down in heaven. And you don't have to worry about this life. Because if I say this, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, he said, I've set the watchman upon the wall. And if you'll have it, that's like the preachers of today. Not just me, but even the saved people who's maybe don't stand in the pulpit, but your life is preaching the message.
Amen.
And he says, I tell that watchman to sound the trumpet, to sound the horn. Blow the horn, sound the alarm. He says, when the sword cometh, he said, sound the alarm.
Yes.
He said, because if you sound that alarm, the people will know about the things they need to get straight and the sins they need to get right with. And if you sound the alarm, it's just maybe, they'll give their life and they'll get saved. He says, but if you don't sound the alarm, he said, the sword's coming anyway. And he says, if I don't sound the alarm, he says, you'll still die in your sins. He said, preacher, why do you all do the things that you do? Because we was once in the same spot that you're in.
Right.
We ain't no better than you are.
Amen.
All it is that we realized it, or the light switch got turned on, the revelation of God showed up in our lives and says, I love you and I want to save your soul.
Amen.
And you're here today, and God's dealt with your heart, spoke to your heart. Some of you's been here before, and some of you's come maybe more than once or more than twice, and God spoke to your heart. And can I say this today? The most important thing for you to do is to give your life to the Lord. You've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried. And that's what the Lord's got my heart centered on today, is a woman who tried and tried and tried in her own way, in every way, shape, or form, to make her life better. But she never got no better. I'm going to be reading in the book of Mark, in 5th chapter. If you want to read, you don't have to stand with us or anything. I want to get right into the message and give what God's placed upon my heart. I didn't know exactly how God was going to do this today, but now I thank the Lord, Brother Art McFarland, that God is in the midst. And I'm glad today, Brother Art, that He saved sinners, aren't you? Amen tonight. Today, thank the good Lord. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 25, it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment. For she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and seest thou who, and sayest thou, who touched me? And He looked round to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, come and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman has been with this issue, this problem in her blood for 12 years. And she spent every dime that she had trying to get better from this plague. Can I tell everybody this? Some of you may not know, but in the Old Testament, in the Levitical law, when you had an issue of blood or you had a problem in that, you was considered unclean. Amen. And you had to be separated from the rest of the congregation of Israel. They knew what was wrong with you. They knew something was not right with you, and they would shun you and push you off to the side. And this woman for 12 years, Brother Ernie, couldn't find a friend that would stick close with her. She couldn't find somebody that would stay with her all night and maybe help pray. She couldn't find nobody that would just be there and be the shoulder that she could cry on. Yep. But for 12 years, she spent everything that she had, all the money that she had summed up, all the inheritance maybe she had gotten from dead family members, or maybe she had got some things from her parents. But oh, can I say this morning, nobody wanted to be her friend. Nobody was going to stick with her through the thick and the thin. Nobody was going to be there in the end. And she spent all that she had and never got no better, but only got worse. Has anybody like that way this morning? Has anybody ever been in that position? It seemed like everything you touched turned to a mess. I mean, Brother Jay, I've been there. It seems like I was doing my very level-headed best. I tried with all my might. I planned her all out. I put in the thoughts in my mind. I meditated upon it. I researched it. I Googled it. I Wikipedia'd it. I did everything that I could to find out the situation and the circumstance. But it seemed like every time I put my hand to it, it never got no better, Sister Erin. But it only got worse. I don't know about anybody else, but I tried with all my might. I tried to turn over a new leaf. I tried to be something different than what I was. And every time that I try, it never succeeded. It never followed through. It always fell apart. Anybody hear this preacher this morning? I mean, if you'll have it, it's like the New Year's resolution. I'm going to go on a diet and lose me about 100 pounds. But come by the end of January, I'm eating every cupcake and biscuit and gravy around, trying to fill myself up to make me feel good. But I'm telling you this morning, there was only one thing that I could have that could help me out, and His name was Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. That's right. This woman here, she spent everything she had, and she went to the physicians. And can I say this? I was sitting there, I was praying. I said, God, I have a tendency sometimes to get off by myself. And I get caught up in the emotions and the spirit moving. And God, whatever you do, don't let me badmouth doctors, because I just love doctors. Somebody say amen. Man, if you love to have a doctor, if you got you a good one, you ought to say amen. But can I say this? The help that she needed, no doctor could help her with. And can I say this here today? The need that you have in your life, ain't no doctor around that can help you with this. Can I say this? They used to have doctors would make house calls, and not too many of them make house calls no more. But I know of a great physician who can come to your house and help you out. I've seen this before. I've heard about good doctors. And somebody would say, Jason, what you need to do is get your family down to that doctor and try to get into his practice and let him be your doctor, be a part of his practice. I would go there and they'd say, we ain't seeing no new patients. But I'm glad to know this today. I know of a great physician. He sees new patients all the time. You ain't got to worry about the waiting list. You ain't got to worry about the scheduling conflicts. You ain't got to worry about anybody's going to pick up the phone. He's there, and he's willing, and he's ready to help you. And can I say this today? This woman, when she spent everything she had, and she never got better, but she grew worse. The Bible says that when she went to these physicians, and can I say this? They would always do an examination. And they would look at her, and they would try to figure out just exactly the right approach to have in her life. But every time they would try to do the things they thought that would help, it never would help. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You'd go to the doctor, and the doctor would look at you, Brother Paul. And Brother Paul, he'd say, he goes, you need to take this medication. And he'd give you the medication. But he says there's some side effects to this medication. And sometimes the side effects is worse than the problem that you have. Can I tell you this? The cure that you need for what you've got right now, the side effects is far better. The side effects don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about feeling sick. You don't have to worry about feeling bad. Oh, he's got a cure for what you got.
Amen. Bless
you. I thought about this. You go to the doctor, and the first thing they tell you to do is stick out your tongue and say, ah. Preached along these lines before, but I got to thinking about why on earth did he have you stick your tongue out and say, ah. Doctors say there's a lot you can tell about a person's tongue. Ain't that exactly right, Brother James? You can tell a lot about a person's tongue. Oh, can I say this? The Bible says, the Bible and the doctors say that when they look at your tongue, they can tell what kind of condition your liver's in. And can I say this today? What a lot of folks need, they need to have that liver fixed up on the inside. Somebody say amen. Is that getting kind of deep, Brother Jay? But ain't that the truth?
Yes.
A lot of times people says, preacher, I've tried to live it, and I can't live it. Well, join the party. I can't live it either.
Amen.
But if you get the liver, the right liver on the inside, he'll live it through you.
Yes.
Oh, sometimes people don't realize it. But all the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, so does the mouth speak. How the treasures of the heart, a good treasure, or a good heart, or bad heart, so forth, man brings forth the treasures. That doctor would tell you to open up your mouth and stick out your tongue and say, ah, he can tell what kind of liver you got on the inside. And can I tell you this? You might be able to go for a while with some a dialysis for your liver, but you won't live right. You won't live long, and you won't live right. What you need is a liver transplant, and I know somebody who can do it. Secondly, they want to look at your eyes. They want to take a look at your peepers. They want to look at your eyes. You say, can I say something today? It matters what your eye, the condition of your eyes.
Amen.
And can I tell you, there's some things you ought not to look at too long, and you'll go blind.
That's right. Amen.
I do know this. I never forget as a kid. I was one of those kids, don't tell me to do, don't do something. I was that stupid kid that would go ahead and do it anyway. I never forget, we was in elementary school, and the school teacher knew it was elementary school with it. They told me, they said, whatever you do, don't look directly in the sun. You'll go blind. I said, I don't really believe that. And I stared at that sun for about 5 seconds. Got myself a migraine headache. Couldn't see for a good while. I was blinded. But can I say this today? A lot of times the problem that some of us has got today, you've been looking at the wrong things way too long. And since you've been looking at them things way too long, and looking at them things that are wrong, it's had an effect on your life. You said, preacher, I don't think it matters. I think we can look, but we can't touch. Well, I've only got one problem with that. Eve was looking at a tree way too long. And it caused everybody the mess that we're in him today.
That's right.
The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says she was looking upon the tree and saw it was good for food and thought it looked pretty. And the devil said, it ain't going to hurt you to eat some of that. It won't bother just to take a little bitty of a nibble of it. Oh, God don't care. It'll be all right with God. And come through it how the Baptists say to do it. It's better to ask for forgiveness afterward than it is to ask for permission. Ain't that how Baptist folks like to do it? Some of these guys look like you just swallowed a bug all of a sudden. But I'm telling you this, so many times people's looked at it, and Brother Justin, when they looked at it for so long, it consumes their thoughts, it consumes their mind, and the next thing you know, they're neck deep in it, and they can't get out of it. You know what you need? You need to get yourself to a doctor, and I know who can help you with your eye problem.
Yes.
Thirdly, I want to check your ears. I want to look in your ears. I always heard them say, you never stick nothing in your ear. No smaller than your elbow. And the first thing they do, they take that little pointy thing with a flashlight on it and right in your ear. They want to see how well your hearing's working. But can I say this today? The Bible says that there's a lot of things that goes on in our life when it comes to the hearing of what we need to hear. Can I say this to some of you folk? Don't get mad at the preacher. I'm just sounding the horn. I told Brother Jay Murray, I get scared to death when a congregation gets big like this. I'm just minding the Lord, so don't get mad at me.
Bless you, preacher.
But some of us right now, can I say this? We've let our ears be the garbage can for the things of the world.
Yes!
And it's consumed our thoughts and it's consumed our way of life.
Preach.
Now, I'm not throwing out on nobody. We've been preaching it here recently. And some folks has been nodding their head and saying, I mean, there's more people concerned about what they hear on the news than what they hear from the preacher man. There's people that want to hear more things on the music station, on the kind of stations and the music of the world, than they do want to hear God's gospel music to be sung. Brother Terry, people want to hear a dirty joke. People want to hear the bad news. They want to hear about somebody falling apart. And Brother Hart McFarland, I would love it if somebody would share some good news with me.
Yeah,
just
man.
Tell me how good Jesus is.
Yes.
Tell me how He changed their life. I want to hear the testimony of a saint of God who says, I've been born again and I've been redeemed. I ain't been perfect, but I am forgiven.
Yes.
Hey, I haven't yet arrived, but I'm on my way. Oh, yes, He has begun a good work. But can I say this today? The Bible says that it matters what we listen to.
That's right.
What we hear.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard.
That's right.
That's the time we let them slip. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter number 2 and 3, I do know for at least 7 times, the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Can I say that today? But can I say this? There's most important things in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Don't get me wrong. I love to hear gospel music. I love to hear gospel music. It brings the tears to the eye. It brings a pat to my foot. It brings a clap to my hands. It brings a shout unto my lips. Am I hearing this, preacher? I mean, it just moves upon me like none other. When I'm down, God sends a song and picks me up. I could be driving in the car. There's a song they've been playing lately, and I'm probably telling on myself, Brother Jay Murray, I'm not a big fan of the contemporary Christian music, but the longer I keep hanging around with some of these folks, and they're playing some good songs. I heard a song that says there's a war between guilt and grace, and they're fighting for a sacred space. But I'm living proof. Grace wins every time. I was driving down to work yesterday morning, and I heard that sound come on. I was going left to center. I was going right of the white line. Thank God there wasn't a state trooper behind me. It had pulled me over for being under the influence. But I'm glad to know this, that when I heard something sweet and heard something right in my ears, Brother Ernie Murray, it had me under the influence of God, and it made a difference in my life. I wonder if anybody here today is like that woman. How long have you been in your condition? Some of you here, some of you have confessed salvation, and some of you might be saved. I don't know what's between you and God, but I'm telling you, your life ain't matching up with it. And what you need to do, you need to make yourself another checkup with the Lord. And you need to come and ask Him, Lord, just what exactly did I come down with? Ain't that exactly right? There's been a sickness sweeping through here the last couple weeks. Folks has been catching a cold and bronchitis and the flu. And sometimes I got to go to the doctor and say, give me a prescription to get rid of this thing that's been ailing me. But it seems like folks can live their life, been saved for 50 years. They can sin and mess it all up, but they don't have to go back to God and get things right. They don't have to come back to the church and get things right.
Yep.
Yeah, man, that's right. I'm telling you, what we need is a dose and set up a time a day to come to God and get on our knees and ask God to give us a checkup.
Amen.
Help
Amen.
Us out.
That's right. Amen.
I wonder how long you've been in that condition. How many things have you suffered from the physicians? Almost done. Is there any doctors in the house? Raise your hand. Now, I know most all of you get on the internet and Google your condition and you try to play doctor on yourself.
Yep.
Right? Got him. Y'all don't get mad at me. I'm just sounding the horn. I'm guilty of it too. How many of us go to them friends and say, "Yeah, I got something wrong with me. Can you help me out?" And them friends play doctor. But can I tell you something? And this may seem odd for you, for me to say, but I'm telling you the truth. I've lived it. When I grew up in Carlisle, from the 70s through the 80s and through the 90s, there was a tight bunch, and I thought nobody could know me better than that bunch. And Doug, I met my wife, and my wife got to know me real well. But I met somebody that knows me even better than my wife does. She knows me better than them old friends do. But I met one in 1999 on April 4th up in Kettering, Ohio, and he knew everything about me.
Yes.
And he knew what was wrong with me. He said, "But be of good cheer, Jason. You don't have to do this or worry about that. All you need to let me do is get it on the inside and work it on the out." Woo! Bless his name. I'm telling you, though, you may go to your buddies and go to your friends and find yourself some peace or find yourself a little bit of satisfaction or go for a little while. But those buddies are like the buddies that Job had. He said, "Your physician's of no value. What you need is that friend that's closer than a brother. A friend that's in the good times and the bad times. He'll go through the valleys, up to the mountaintops, into the fire, through the water. And he'll never leave nor forsake."
Amen.
How long have you been in that condition, and how many friends and families have you went to? How much has it cost you? How many of you here's lost? Oh, God.
Bless him. Preaching.
How many homes have been broken up? How many marriages have been wrecked?
Yeah.
How many kids neglected? How many wives neglected? Husbands neglected because of this condition?
Yeah.
How long will you let it go on? How long will you stay in that place, in that spot? Now, some of you might be thinking, "Well, preacher, me and my wife get along good. Me and my husband get along good. Kids are good. Everything's all right." I knew a man that way. He said, "Jason, nobody's got a house better than mine. Nobody's got cars better than mine. I got everything I've ever wanted, and then some." He said, "Nobody's got it better than me." And for years and years and years, I watched that man gloat upon the things that he had. But Tammy, when his mortality got a hold of him and gripped his heart, he looked at me with tears in his eyes, Terry, and said, "All that stuff don't seem as important as it once did."
Yeah.
And can I say this? So you may have health, and you may be all right. But I'm telling you, it don't matter what happens. That stuff won't matter in the next second or a minute or so if something was bad to happen to you. I got told about a waitress at a restaurant that's local, been diagnosed with cancer. She come to a mutual friend and told that mutual friend, said they gave up on the treatment. He said, "Why'd they give up for her?" She said, "They told me that they ain't no hope. It ain't doing no good." He said, "Well, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up." He couldn't give her the right advice. I got a phone call, Mike, on the way home. That woman that's suffering from all that cancer and is in bad shape and ain't got no hope, her husband dropped dead just like that. And can I tell you this? You can be in the most perfect bill of health. You can be ate up with some kind of disease, but I'm telling you, you're going to meet death here one day after a while.
Yes.
I don't care how old you are, how young you are, Brother James Powell. Everybody got to give an account.
That's right, man.
The Bible says, "Appointed man once to die, and after this, a judgment."
Yes.
But aren't you glad today when the Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God?
Yes.
You can plead guilty. You can throw yourself upon the mercy of the court and get grace and mercy.
Amen.
Be forgiven. Notice this woman. When she was going, I didn't get to none of my notes hardly at all.
Bless.
About done.
That's all right. Bless.
Jesus was going to Jairus' house.
Yes. Amen.
This woman did not have an appointment. I heard people all the time that say, "Well, preacher, I'm not a member of that church. I'm not a regular." God's not looking for your membership here at Mount Zion. Somebody say amen right there.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Jesus was asked by Jairus. He said, my daughter's lying there sick. She's going to die if you don't get there. She's going to die if you don't get there. Jesus said, let's take a trip. Let's go there. As they're walking, the crowd's pressing. The crowd's all around him. And here's that woman reaching through the crowd. Now, you might say this today. It's the only reason why I'm here is because I was asked to come here. And the only reason here is because somebody asked me to come. I'm just satisfying their request of me coming to church. But can I tell you, just because you don't think you came and God's going to talk to you, he's still here today.
Amen.
And while he's coming from somebody else, he can do business with you.
Amen.
This woman, as she sat there, I want you to realize this. The Bible says she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible said, Jesus said something. He said, who touched me?
Amen.
Now, the disciples said this. They said, now, wait a minute now. How come everybody's touching you and you're going to ask the most dumbest question of all? There's thousands of people, Jesus, touching you.
Yeah.
And you're going to ask who touched you? How can you ask that question? Here's the reason why. If you want to reach out and touch Jesus, you'll feel something happen on the inside.
Yeah.
And he'll feel something on the other side. And it don't matter who else is touching. He's got opportunity and time for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I say this? I've said it before and I'll say it again. That morning when I was on my knees, Brother Ernie, and I went to that altar and I fell upon my knees, there was a whole front was filled up with people. And I was amazed and mesmerized how everybody was calling upon God. But still yet he took time out for Jason Faulkner and saved my soul. You don't know who's all out right now. You know who all's calling upon God. But my God's not a little God. He's a great big God. He can help you. He can answer your prayer.
Amen.
I wonder today, as that woman who spent all that time alienated from other folk, some of you here feel like you're all by yourself. Some of you feel like there ain't no way you'll ever get better. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus Christ can help you in your condition. There's some of you here, and you've been carrying around a load and a burden for years. God help us. Some of you, there's things you'd like to see in your life, but you keep saying, well, but I've got this to deal with. I've got this to deal with. I've got this to deal with. Let me give you some Bible. Bible says, cast all your care upon him, because he careth for you.
That's right.
You might say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm guilty. I was the one who done the wrong. Be of good cheer. He specializes in that.
Yes.
Many of you carried it for so long. It's weighted you down. You don't even walk like you used to walk. You don't even act like you used to act. It's burdened you down so much. Some of you here, you can tell by the way you look on your face right now. God spoke to you before, and he spoke to you time and time again. And still yet, you've never made that election and calling sure with the Lord. Can I say this? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why would you say that, preacher? Well, the scripture that really got a hold of me this past week was the Bible says that they that are whole don't need a physician. So if you ain't got no sin problem, you ain't got to worry about death, and you have no need to call upon Jesus. But if I was to take a poll, Brother Ernie Murray, I do believe one out of one people die. Everybody's going to die.
Amen.
And the Bible says the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
I wonder today. I thought about this. I thought, Lord, it's friends and family day. The Murray family's going to be there. We've got to have that big, deep spiritual message, Lord, to touch the hearts. That song, come on, that Chris wrote, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same old story.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And some people say, well, I don't like that way you preach, though.
I had somebody tell us
that we wasn't Baptist because the preaching that goes on like that. It's not the style of preaching that bothers you. It's what's being preached is what bothers you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because even myself, got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I got to answer the same God you answer to. I got to fall on the same Bible you got to carry. And if we don't get ourselves to the great physician, if we don't get to Jesus Christ, we's in trouble. Now I want to say this and I'm done. So many times people will say, well, I believe in the Lord, I believe in the Lord. When that woman touched Jesus, something happened. He felt something, she felt something. Amen. Now don't get me wrong, I don't believe salvation is based upon feelings.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
But it is based upon you're saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
Is that right? That's Bible.
Amen.
But how can a God that created the heavens and the earth, how can the God that made man, how can God that made everything, be so powerful, be so big and so present, so loving, touch your life and you not feel it?
Yeah, man.
Bless you.
That's a truth, preacher.
If you believe in him, how come he ain't changed you? How come he hasn't changed the condition that you've been in?
Yeah.
Preacher, are you perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Amen.
And some people say, well, that's just for you wild people. No, it's for that ones before they get wild, too.
That's right.
Amen.
They won't be what they could be.
Right.
Still need grace.
Yeah. Amen.